too quick. So this time, now I try to say slow, and if something is not clear or I say too fast, you're very welcome to stop me and to ask why. And last session, I mentioned that I give you a handout so that it will not be on the projector, so that you will not have to copy notes at the same time while I speak. Then that'll be quite confusing. So I give you the note from last session. And in that note, we mentioned that last time we just talked about gods, right? There are many types of gods. And the word God in the Hebrew, it means mighty one. Okay, so not every mighty one refer to the one true God that we worship. Okay, just simply that saying that sons of God are quite mighty in God's sight. And also referring to that Satan in some way is mighty too. Okay, now on this session I'd like to discuss with you the power of God instead of characteristics of God. So now we're going to discuss the power of God. The power of God, or we call it Almighty. Remember in the last session, we mentioned the first thing, right? Somebody asked you that can God, since he's so mighty, can God create a rock so heavy that he cannot carry, right? In fact, there's many questions like this. Very quite contradictory, and it's like a trap. Some of you maybe have heard say, I have heard this. Some people ask, since God's so mighty, can God sin? Have you think about it? Since God's so mighty, can he kill himself? If God's so mighty, right, can he create another being that's more powerful than him? Okay. So basically, all these questions, right, all have to do with the power of God, correct? Can God do this? Can God do that? And obviously, God cannot do this. God cannot do that. But Bible say God's almighty. But then after I asked you the question, many of you doubted. I kind of feel sad. We should have doubted. Okay, God is mighty. Now, I'll explain to you what's wrong with that kind of logic. Okay? God is almighty. Let's turn to Bible verse 2 first. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. Esther, can you read? Yeah. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1.
Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless.
So here it mentioned that God, he himself said, I'm the Almighty God. So why do we doubt? So we need to understand how great is the power of God. But at the same time, we have to understand what's the logic out there, what comes so contradicting. First, we have to mention the wrong logic. I'm sure that many of you have seen this sign, right? What is the sign? Infinity, right? Good, okay. Can you possibly name a number from infinity? Can you think? Suppose you can. Let's say, okay? Suppose you say 10 to the 1,000th power. Okay? That's quite big, quite large. We probably would never earn that much money. Okay? It's good enough. We don't usually ever get to that size of number. So it's the infinity. Is this the infinity? No, right? It's not infinity. Okay? So whenever we think of a number, any number of infinity, whenever it's a specific number, that is not infinity. Do you get it? Infinity is a concept. It cannot be, you cannot mention specific saying that that is the infinity. And whenever we can say, we can visualize anything that's specific on this earth, then that's not infinity anymore. Same thing with God. God's power is infinite. It's almighty. Almighty means I can do anything. But then when men say that, a rock, We know that God created rock, right? In this world, God created many rocks. What happened is when human being, this is what happened. Infinity to this, right? We try to think a number for infinity. We'll go like this, right? Can we refer this back to infinity? Say this number is infinity? No. It's getting there, but it's not infinity. Same thing. When we say God create a rock, okay? It's already something visual. We cannot refer it back to God. Does it make sense? God's power is infinite. And because men, human beings usually commit this mistake. This blind eyesight in our human thinking. When something infinite, we simply cannot take something out infinite and then refer back to God. If you do that, anytime you do that, you'll find yourself contradiction. That's the way it is. Okay? So whenever God gives a command, let's say Ten Commandments, we cannot refer it back to God, saying, oh, that's God, or can God do this? Because when this is like infinite, when this is infinite, you don't really cannot say anything that's God or that's infinite. It doesn't make sense. Okay? So we had to understand that God Almighty, his power is infinite. We cannot basically visualize. Okay? So God also gave us commands. But we cannot say, for example, God gave us what? Do not kill. We'll go back to say, can God kill? Do not commit adultery? Can God commit adultery? It doesn't work. It doesn't go like that. Okay? God told us not to sin. Can God sin? Because it's infinite. You cannot say specific and refer back to that infinite. The second wrong logic, this is the first example. Second example is you cannot compare infinite with infinite. For example, infinite minus infinite. What did you get? What did you get? People who maybe math not too good will say zero, right? Okay, it's not necessary. It can be one too. It can be minus one. It can be infinity. It can be minus infinity. Okay? So if ever infinity minus infinity, basically the answer is not these. It's undefined. There's no answer to that. That's the way it is. So infinity is something we just know a concept. It's so infinite. There's no number for it. Same thing with this, minus infinity. When these two compare together, what you get? We don't know. Okay? So a rock that is bigger than God, okay? This is God, let's say. A rock is even bigger than God. Heavier, a rock that God cannot lift. You basically compare two infinities. And you go and find yourself contradiction because it can have at least five different response. And so this kind of question in this world is just a trap, okay? It's playing humans' weakness on their logic. Whenever there's infinity, you don't basically compare or you're going to find yourself in contradiction if you try to compare with something that he creates or with something that he say. So that is, in terms of logic or philosophy, that's something we don't do. Okay? Is it clear? Does it make sense? Am I going too fast? Lena? Okay. So, with this in mind, so, is God Almighty? Yes, okay? I believe God is Almighty. So in the future, whenever you hear any kind of question, some people, even our own believer, quote the Bible, say, you see, God do this, but God didn't say that he can do this, so God's not Almighty. Don't listen to that, okay? That is not what God likes. God says he's Almighty, right? God says he's Almighty, he's Almighty. We don't question God. Can God do this? Can God do that? If he cannot do it right now, then he's not God Almighty. Stupid questions, okay? So this is the wrong logic. Can I erase it now? Go on to next. Now let's learn about what does it mean all God is almighty. Second, you have the picture copied down, right? Second, what does it mean to be God Almighty? Let's look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Can somebody read that, Lena? We'll go on and we'll go down, okay? Lena, can you read Matthew chapter 19, verse 26? Right, okay. So here, Lord Jesus Christ defined what's God's power like. He says, all things are possible with God. Okay? But we don't say, oh, can God do this, can God do that? No, you cannot do that. Just like, remember, we talk about infinity. You cannot name a specific number of infinity. When you named it, you're going to find yourself contradiction because that number is not infinity. Okay? So all things are possible with God. Okay? And there's another verse, Genesis 18, verse 14, Jeremiah 32. Can you read Genesis chapter 18, verse 14? Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Right. Okay. So here, Genesis and also Jeremiah chapter 32, 17 to 27 also says, anything too hard for the Lord. Basically, God said, there's nothing impossible for me. But let's not tempt God. Say, God, can you do this? When we do that, we'll find some contradiction. For example, you know, Bible said, right, in Mark chapter 16, those people drink, what, poison, right, bitten by snake, they'll be all fine, right? You know what? Some people test God, right? They purposely drink poison to see what happened to them. You see, Bible said. And once they do that, what happened? They found that contradiction. They die. That's it, really, okay? We believe it's true, but we don't purposely test God, say, oh, you know, poke at God and make fun of him. God doesn't like that, okay? Later we'll talk about what happened to those people. Okay. And Genesis, so basically this is called Almighty. We had mentioned that before. And this is recorded, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, and also 35, verse 11, and Job 37, verse 23. And Revelation chapter 11, verse 17. Basically, they're saying that God is almighty at least three times. So we don't need to doubt about God. And we already mentioned about what does it mean God almighty. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Everything is possible for the Lord. Okay. Now, in our life, right, we have, in the Bible, we can see many powers of God be manifested. For example, God said that let it be light. And, you know, whenever he say things, God can create something out of nothing. This is showing God's power, okay? But of course, after that, right, we don't see God do that again quite often, right? Correct? God created the whole universe in 6 days. But after that, he doesn't often say, let there be something, and something happened. It does not mean God's not powerful, but God decided not to do it. Okay. There's a clear distinction. Okay, so I want to clarify with you. And there's many examples in the Bible. God performed miracles, God resurrected the dead. Many examples. But all these examples are not God himself. We have to understand that. All these examples of power of God are not exactly the power of God. The infinite. Okay. Then, now let's talk about the teaching applications. What are the applications? First, we don't challenge or doubt God's power. This is what we need to do. We don't challenge God, God's power, or challenge or doubt. It can't be that quick. Okay. We still have an hour, okay? We don't doubt or challenge God's power. And you know what happens if a person do not believe or challenge God's power? If a person challenge God's power, what happened to him? Can you think of any example? Anybody challenging God's power? You can look at 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 2. We'll have you read it, please. 2 Kings chapter 7, 1 to 2. This is an example of a person challenged the word of God. Okay? You can turn to that. Chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, 2 Kings. Louder, sorry. Louder, yeah.
Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says about this type of model.
Sia. Shekel. The next verse.
You will see it with your own eyes, answer Elisha, but you will not hear it.
Ha, thank you. So here we can see an instance that God promised deliverance to the city of Samaria. And the prophet said, by the time of tomorrow, everything will return to normal. The price of food will came down to normal. And then guess what? This commander said, we can see that he's challenging God and also doubting God. Well, if God can God do this? Well, what happened is that immediately Elijah said, Elisha said, you shall see it, but you're not going to get it. Of course, later on, we know that he died. Okay? So, the reason I mentioned this example is doubting God's power, okay, we will bring harm to ourselves. A certain promises we cannot get because we doubt. And who's our example that we should follow? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Julius, yeah. So let's talk about King Nebuchadnezzar built a golden idol. And somebody reported to the king saying that these Daniel's three friends don't worship your golden idol. The king was very, very upset. Called them over and said, I'll give you one more chance. You do it, fine. You don't do it, I'm going to throw you into the fire furnace. And the Daniel's three friends, what did they say? King, we do not need to talk to you about this. They are totally confident that God is able to deliver them. They do not doubt God's power. And they say that in case God does not want to do it, it's fine with us too. We are willing to die. We will not worship your idol. And that is a great faith, perfect faith. Okay? They didn't even doubt God's power. In fact, if they were to get hurt and die, they still believe that God is still almighty. God is still able to deliver them from king's hand. And this is what we need to follow, to imitate. So this can be like a contrast. The person who doubted, who challenged God, the end is very bad. They don't see God's promise. They cannot get God's promise. But here we can see Daniel's three friends. They received the deliverance from God. Okay? And they were thrown into a fire furnace, and nothing is burned. It basically presents that the faith is perfect. Totally believing the power of God. The last one, guess what? It's our forefather, Abraham. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 15. 5 to 6. Genesis chapter 15, 5 to 6. Next, yeah. Can you read it? Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 to 6. We should turn to that passage too. Please read. Yeah.
And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall thy seed be." 6. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Okay. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, God took him outside and say that the stars in heaven, you can count the stars in heaven, then that shall your descendants be. There's so many. And at that time, it's quite contradictory. He doesn't have one child, nothing in sight. And God said, your descendants shall be like this many. So if we, maybe Abraham would say, oh, really? Oh, God, show it to me. Give me one at least. Challenge him a little bit. Okay? Abraham did not say that. He believed it. And what happened when he believed it? Verse 6 tells us God credited him as righteousness. So this is how we are justified too. We don't doubt God's power. God's able. If God's willing, God can do this. God can help my problem. God can solve my problem. If nobody can, no doctor can, we know God can. If God will have mercy upon us, God can do it for us. So this is why we need to study the doctrine of one true God, so that we can go in depth of the power of God and who is God that we worship. Okay? Any other questions about the power of God? Or any questions? Yes?
Just wondering,
did you see on characteristics?
I'm going to go to
pull back to you. Oh, yeah. Like I mentioned just a while ago, I just changed my mind. I will talk about the characteristics of God later on, after I finish talking about the power of God. Okay? So the characteristics of God will be our last section. Okay? So now we're going to talk about the power of God. The power of God consists of three things. One is his power. Second, his wisdom, or his knowledge. Third is talking about his omnipresence, power. Okay. But before we go on, any question about this? Any questions? All clear? Slow? Okay. Then, yes? I'll get in there. I'll get there. And just, this is the first point. This is the power. Omnipotent. That means all powerful. Okay? Any other questions? If not, go erase this. Finish copying? Okay. Now let's talk about the second characteristic. Oh, a while ago that was A. Sorry, that was A. Omnipotent. Okay? Now I'll mention the B part. The B is omniscient. OK? Okay? This means all-knowing. God's all-knowing. Let's turn to a couple passages. First, let's turn to Psalm 147, verse 5. Can I ask Paul? Can you read it? Scott, to read it. I'll go slow. Psalm 147, verse 5. Okay. It says his understanding is infinite. What's infinite? We have mentioned, right? You cannot pinpoint it. That means God knows our thing. You cannot pinpoint it and say, God does not know this. God said this, some people can turn around and say, oh, God doesn't know this since he said this. It doesn't work. Do you understand? I'll give you some example later on. Okay, so what is infinite? His understanding. It is infinite. And let's look at that passage. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. Agnes? Sorry. We're just going to go like this to read off the Bible verse, okay? Okay, so Bible says that his knowledge is unsearchable. What does it mean unsearchable? Infinite, or you cannot find out, right? There's no way you can find out, right? So God knows quite a bit. God sees, we'll talk about God sees everything. God knows everything, okay? For example, some people say, quoted from Bible, say, God said to Adam, right, saying that, Adam, where are you? Some people say, you see, God doesn't know. You see, Satan worked on the Adam and Eve, and God did not know about it. But God also said to Cain, right? Say, Cain, where's your brother? Right? And guess what? When Cain said, I'm not my brother's keeper. God said, what have you done? Your brother's blood cried out to me, right? God does God know? Of course God knows, but God somehow, through his wisdom, say something asking Adam, where are you? It doesn't mean that he doesn't know. Okay? So some people can just read it and challenge God. God doesn't know. Okay? We'll talk later about what happened to those people too. Okay? Last one. Well, before going on, the unsearchable of his knowledge. Okay? It means that we cannot know what he knows. But, however, we can know his word, the way of salvation. Okay, it does not imply to salvation. It's just implying that he knows so much that our human being, our brain, simply cannot understand, know what he knows. Okay, that's what it means. The last one is, well, not the last one, Romans chapter 16, verse 27. The God that we believe in, okay, can you please read? Yeah, everybody turn to that passage. Romans chapter 16, verse 27. Okay, Bible say, the only wise God, the only one, right? So the God that we believe is only wise God. It's absolute. When he was the only, that's it. He's the most wisest person in the world. In the whole this universe, well, whether whether it's heaven or on earth. Okay, and this tells us that we need to believe God. When we pray, how we think, God knows. If we truly believe and practice in our life, are we there to do things that offends God, sin against God? There's no such thing as secret. Because we know God knows everything. Let's turn to a passage. Hebrew chapter 14, chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Next. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 12. Yeah, please read, yeah. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 12. Am I going too fast? Yeah, okay. Please read, yeah. Okay. Here it tells us God sees everything. Everything is bare to him. Nothing is hidden. And God sees so clear that in verse 12 it says, between soul and spirit, how we feel. Sometimes we can't differentiate soul and spirit, bone and marrow. But God can differentiate so clearly what our thought is, exactly. How we feel, exactly. So that's how powerful God is. So sometimes God sometimes may be acting like he doesn't know. Okay, it doesn't mean he doesn't know. He knows. Or else the Bible will be contradicting. One says that God knows everything. The other says, well, how come God lead Israelites for 40 years? And how come it takes so long? Really, some people say something wrong with God. He took 40 years to lead the Israelites to go to the land of Canaan. If he's smart and wise, he should finish very quickly, right? How are you going to answer that? There's other factors that is involved. Man's choice, too. God let the people choose, okay, to have faith or not to have faith. Just like Abraham or the commander, right? 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 2. He decided not to believe, challenge God, and that's what you get. Cannot receive God's promise. So, the reason I mention about this is because we human beings, I did it too, okay, once a while in the past, okay? Have we asked God, say, God, what are you doing? Have we asked that kind of question in our life? Sometimes things go wrong, and I said, God, what are you doing? I'm sure of that, right? But if we know that the God that we believe in is only a wise God. Absolute. He knows what he's doing. I'm sure that we will ask God, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? I don't think so, okay? We were able to entrust ourselves to God, okay? So let's talk about the application part. First, we do not doubt or challenge God. Okay. I'd like to add one point before we talk about this one. Fifth point, application. There's a point I missed I'd like to mention to you. The fourth point is God can declare things that had not yet happened from the beginning. Let's turn to that. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. And also Psalm 139, verse 16. Can we have you read it, please? Isaiah 46, 9 to 10. Verse 10, Please. Okay. Sorry, I can't hear you clearly. Did the passage mention declare things that yet happened? Yes or no? Yes? Okay. And God said that he declared things not yet happened from the beginning. Okay? So before it even happened, God declared what happened. Okay? For example, in Revelation, right? God declared what will happen to Satan. He'll be thrown into the lake of fire. Okay? It's not a difficulty for God. God said it. God will do it. Why? If you look at in the prophecies, like for example, God prophesies about Ahab, right? And also Jezebel, how they will die. When the time comes, they do die according to God's word. But we might ask, how come God doesn't just kill them? You know, like the mouse, you know, smashing them or something. Why take so long? It's not God's not all-powerful. God knows what he's doing. God has his own time. It's beyond our understanding. So we as human beings, we need to humble ourselves, saying, God knows what he's doing. And Satan's end is prophesied already. He will be thrown into the lake of fire. In God, there's no time. When God said it, that's what will happen. It will definitely happen. To God, it already happened. But to us, maybe we thought, no, God hasn't happened. But we're just like living in the time of Ahab, where there's a persecution, the false religion prospering, God worshiping everywhere. But at that time, the believers of God, what believers of God need to do is what? The just shall live by faith. At that time, we need to have faith in God's power, in God's all-knowing. Not to doubt God, but continue to obey God. So God can declare things not yet happen. And Book of Revelation tells some parts what will happen in the future. Bible is not meant to tell everything what will happen in the future. Understand? For example, Bible is not going to tell us what happened to Scott Tsai, right? What will happen in the future. That's not relevant, okay? Bible just simply say the major things. Now, the application part, right? Five, application A. First thing we learn is we don't doubt or challenge God's understanding. If we believe God's only wise, he knows everything. Second, let's look at Isaiah 45, verse 9. Next, the one, can you tell her to read? Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. Okay, so here it says, woe to him who strive with his maker. Woe to him means he's going to have some troubles. Because what? He said to God, what are you making? That's very insulting if you think about it. If you're the Almighty God and people, the person who you created, say, what are you doing? And in fact, insulting God, say, you have no hands. No, hands usually represent power. And basically he says, you know, what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. You have no power. Okay, that's why you let the thing happen like this. And God is not pleased. And God said, woe to you. You know, you strike with your maker. So we don't remember, be careful of what we say. Sometimes we say things we don't realize we're offending God. In fact, in Malachi, listen to Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Let's look at Malachi chapter 2 verse 17 first, and then we'll look at chapter 3. Malachi chapter 2 verse 17. Here it says, you have wearied the Lord which with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? So they, you know, things doesn't happen as they want it. I mean, they see evils prospering, and they question God. You know, God, his understanding is a little problem. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Verse 14. You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Verse 15. So now we call the proud blessed, and for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Verse 16. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spare his own son who serve him. Verse 18. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serve God and the one who does not serve him. So we can see here the people was doubting, saying God does not know. How come these things happen? Questioning his power. And God said, you speak harsh things against me. So this is to teach us that think before we say. Okay? That God is indeed all-knowing. Any questions? Any questions about God's understanding? No, right? So hopefully from now on, we don't say to God, God, what are you doing? Okay? Please don't, because it doesn't sound nice to God. God doesn't like it. Okay? All right? Okay. Of course, we can ask God. Say, God, can you tell me what are you doing? Let me know. Okay? But we don't challenge God and insulting God. Say, God, what are you doing? Try to ruin my life? Okay. No, you don't say that. Okay. And people who said such thing, like challenging God's power, in Psalm 73, verse 11 to 12, Bible called them ungodly. To God, these people are ungodly. Psalm 73, verse 11 to 12. You can look at it. Yeah, it's just saying that God's, they are ungodly, and God doesn't like it. We have about 6 minutes. Let's go on to the third section. Now we talk about omnipresence. Presence. This word omnipresent means God's everywhere. Okay, let's look at a couple passages. One, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 to 24. Can we have the next sister to read it, please? Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23. Okay. Basically, in this passage, if you have Bible in front of you. It tells us that God is at the same time far and near. Heaven is all on earth. Okay? Of course, we say, that's no big deal, right? We all know that, right? True? We all believed it. But we need to have some Bible basis. Let's look at the next one. John chapter 13. Jump chapter 3, verse 13. Anybody have NKJV? If anybody has NKJV, please read this verse. John chapter 3, verse 13. Julius, do you have an NKJV? No? Anybody? NKJV? Yes.
Okay. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, Son of Man.
Okay. In NKJV, it says quite clear that Lord Jesus Christ said that nobody had gone to heaven except the Son of Man, right, who is in heaven. Okay? So he's physically on the earth, but at the same time, he said he's in heaven. Okay? So that is the power of God, that in heaven and on earth at the same time. Okay. And this, of course, there's many other verses, so many of them. And if you can, you know our church book, Essential Book of Doctrine, right? If you know that book, right? It has more verses, but I don't want to write so many. You know, it'll be over too much. Okay. Now let's look at application. What can we learn from that? Since God's everywhere, what can we learn? Since God's everywhere, what can we learn? Of course, we say God's, since everywhere, he sees everything that we do, right? Okay? So, if we're ever in danger, God's right next to us, right? When we're about to do bad things, God's right next to us, too. God sees it. Okay? We just don't know where he is. Okay? But he's around us somewhere. Okay? So, since we mentioned the power of God in three aspects, the omnipotent, the omniscient, omnipresent. This is to teach us. Of course, we don't have enough time to mention all the examples what God knows. Like Achan, right? He know God knows. You know, he steals the stuff. He stole the stuff, and God knows where he hid it. God knows everything. Okay. The reason we study all these, so that is to help us to put our trust in God, and that's why we turn to every single passage. I thought it was more important, more direct, and to show to you that this is how much God knows. This is how much the power of God is. Okay? So infinite. And we just need to place our trust in him. And don't complain like, you know, God's power or God's knowing or God doesn't know. Because Bible do say that. Some people complain, saying, God doesn't know. Okay? And that doesn't please God. So this is what we're learning. And also to help us in the future, if we have ever encountered anything that's heresy, saying, oh, you know, using kind of logical, you know, things, try to trick us, try to lead us astray from believing in the all-powerful of God, then we know. Okay? So any questions? If no question, we're going to end.